Psalm 105, verses 1 through 5, Reader's Digest condensed version this morning, but still, nevertheless, it's important for us as believers that our lives reflect these verses of Scripture. And I had it in the NIV today, so I believe that will be we got KJV there. I thought it said KGB, but it's KJV. In the church today, hallelujah, they do. They can come get saved. Verse 1, give praise to the Lord. If we just stop there, you've done it. You've been doing that already. That's why this time is important. But this should be a part of our Christian faith, is to always find things to give God the glory for and to praise Him for. I think the very first Christian words I heard after I got saved was praise the Lord. And I said, wow, what does that mean? Never heard those when I first got saved. Proclaim His name. Don't be ashamed to declare the name of Jesus, even in public. The unsaved would desire very much that we keep Jesus' name locked up in here behind the four walls of this building, and that His name never gets out. God forbid Jesus would escape. I wonder what would happen. That'd be scary, wouldn't it, for some people, if Jesus escaped the church and He got out. He'd have to break out. Some churches He has to break in. I'm glad. Anyhow, moving on. Proclaim His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Well, if you've traveled, you have the opportunity to do that. But nation is, what part of the world do you live in? Our neighborhoods, our communities, our towns, our villages. Maybe different opportunities you get to travel. Don't neglect to proclaim His name. And also to testify of what He's done in our lives. That's really important, because that's part of our witness. How can... If people don't see that it was God who has done something for us, that's one more person to sit in darkness and wondering how something happened, and they think it's coincidence. Coincidence is quite easy. God did it, but He just didn't get the credit for it. Sometimes we need to make sure that we do that. Sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. So not only talking about the importance of words and speaking in speech, but to sing to Him and to sing praises. We certainly do that here, but it's nice at home as well, or in your automobiles, even your PT Cruiser, you can sing praises to the Lord and thank Him that thing's going to start. Tell of all His wonderful acts. So many times we get healed or something wonderful happens, and if we don't tell others, they won't even know. They won't know who's responsible for it. So it's important that we maintain, it isn't just how we live, but it's how do we proclaim, how do we declare God's goodness. And we speak, we tell others, whether it's in song or word. Glory in His holy name, the name of Jesus. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seeking the Lord is a constant thing. It isn't just when we have needs. It becomes a way of life to us as believers. Always seeking God and making quality decisions. And they might not always be big choices or big decisions, but God cares about the little things too, because a little thing can turn into a big thing. And that can work for us or it can work against us. And we should be always, as we're growing and maturing in our faith, always to remember that it's not like hide and seek, ollie ollie in free, and you give up and the guy that's been hiding shows up. So, I knew you'd never find me in that closet. No, with God, it's seeking is a continuous thing. Seeking His word, seeking revelation, seeking wisdom, seeking knowledge, things that the Holy Spirit reveals to us. Should be a continuous thing. Look to the Lord in His strength. How much that I can do in my physical strength, but there's another source of strength available, and that's the strength and the power of the Lord in our lives, the Holy Spirit working and empowering us, enabling us to do the things that we can't do. There's some things we can make happen just because of where we work or what we do. We can pick up a phone and make things happen. But that's not God's best. God's best is that we come to Him first and not as a last resort. And let Him be our source of strength. We know the scriptures teach us that we're to be strengthened in the inner man by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. So there's an inner strength that comes from our walk with the Lord and that causes us to endure no matter what things look like. Seek His face always. That's very good advice. That should have been in the old farmers, to seek God's face. He would have avoided whacking over that bee's nest in the ground. Remember the wonders He has done. Always, always remember the things that the Lord has done, because God's got a good track record. If you think about your life as a believer, from the time you first believed, and you go all the way back, take a time travel, and think of all the things that you can remember that God has done for you. And then today you come and you're needing Him to do something else, so you're trusting and believing Him and you've released your faith. He's got a wonderful track record. And if He took care of us all of those years and all those things that we have need of, why would He suddenly say, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. It's Thursday and you woke me up. Oh, He's a now God and He's faithful. His miracles and the judgments He pronounced. Think about those things when the enemy's trying to put thoughts of fear and worry and anxiety, lack. Don't let your mind be the enemy's playground. When you're having difficulty sorting out your thoughts, just start thinking about all the things God has done. The enemy flees very quickly. We do have the capacity to change what we think about. The unsaved, it's very difficult for them, but we have great advantages. So that's a short version. We could take each one of those verses and break it down more thoroughly, but Malcolm will do that later. Whatever he brought. I'm excited. I don't know, but I'm excited already. Phyllis. So just before we have huggy break, we'd like to receive a love offering. And we have a small basket and a big basket. And my theory behind that is you put all the $100 bills in the little basket and put all the ones and fives in the big basket, and it'll be glorious. Are we ready? Which one first? You? All right. It is my great joy once again to introduce to you Phyllis. And she has all kinds of good things to share with you, either here or up there or wherever. Here's good. Here's good.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, it's good to be here. My name is Phyllis. Just give you a quick introduction of who we are. As Pastor Rick said, we met in 91, right, in Prague with Dave, our brother Dave there, and we had two small kids then. So we are full-time missionaries since 92, because a year after we met them, the Lord called us to go and live in Czechoslovakia. And we have a ministry called Win Our Nations. And easy to remember, Win Our Nations. We're the family of God. They're His nations, and we're just winning them back with the gospel. And so we actually have been, this year we celebrated 43 years of marriage, right? We have four kids, and we have three sons and one daughter. And I think we were here 11 years ago was the last time we was here, roughly. And our kids have been busy since then, because we now have 9 grandkids. And they're actually scattered all over the world. We have 4 that live in Africa with our daughter Holly and her husband. They run an orphanage there. And then we have 2 in England, in the UK still. And then we have a son who's a pastor up in Destin in Florida. I just want to have a really quick word with you today about, you know, that Jesus is a transformer, isn't he? He transformed our lives. He still transforms lives today. I want to share a quick scripture with you in Psalm 37. Verses 3 and 4, 5 and 6. This is a scripture that actually took us to Czechoslovakia. This is the word of God that we stood on. Our brother said about standing on the promises of God. We stood on this word in many trials and tribulations. We lived there for 5.5 years. It says, do not fret because of evildoers. No, sorry, I'm starting with verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. What a great scripture. Commit your ways to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Great scripture. You know, the word of God, we need to put action to that word, don't we? When he gives us a word, we need to put action to it. Because we can quote scripture all day long, but if we don't put action to it, we won't see the fruit of it. And that was the word the Lord gave us to go to Czechoslovakia, and we lived there for 5 years. And then we came over to the U.S. And God has done amazing things, amazing things. We have, we're based in Florida, but we have a ministry in India. I know that Pastor Rick goes to India a lot. He just kept following us around because he went to Czechoslovakia. Then he went to India. No, not true. God gave him his own work. But, you know, we've been in India, I don't know, 10 or 11 years, and we have a Bible school there. We purchase land. We have orphanages there. We have over 30 churches there that we have 30 pastors that are doing their very, very best to show people the transforming power of Jesus Christ. And then we have a parallel work in Africa, and we do works in Costa Rica. And this, we haven't done a road trip in the U.S. for a while, so really the Lord was nudging us to do that. And it is a pleasure to be here. You know, God is able to transform our lives. And, you know, none of us are getting any younger, right? But we can still live long, and we can still live strong for Jesus. I believe that. I believe, you know, when we get to a certain age, we have some wisdom, we have some maturity. Who here hasn't been through a trial or a tribulation? Is there anybody? Liar. We've all been through trials and tribulations, right? And what does that do? That doesn't weaken us, that strengthens us. Because we get a little bit more knowledge, a little bit more wisdom. We find out that, hey, God's word is true if we believe it, if we trust him above all our circumstances. He's a good God. We have a good God. In Africa, we sing a song, our God is a good God. If I could sing, I'd sing it for you and do the African dance, but I'm not going to subject you to that today. But he is a good God, and there's a bad devil, and we need to know which side we're on. He's a transformer, and God has given us, he's equipped us, hasn't he, in the kingdom of God to go forward and do what he's called us to do. So I know we're going to appreciate and love our time here with Rick and Faith, but it's good to be with you this morning. But I know Malcolm has a word for you, so I'm going to let him come. There you go. God bless. Do you need this? Yeah.
Is it working? Shandalabasudia. Yes, it's working. Hallelujah. Is it okay to put these on here? Hallelujah. I just want to thank Pastor Rick and Faith for opening their home to us and allowing us to speak this morning. We honor you, brother. You're doing a great work, and we're proud to be able to call you our friends. We really are. I just want to honor Dave Wells. If it wasn't for that man at the back there, I wouldn't be standing here this morning. He phoned me in 1991 and said, we're going to Czechoslovakia, and he'd met somebody that said, we were interested a little in Czechoslovakia. And in the end, we decided to go. We had no money. We had no idea where Czechoslovakia was. But we met these guys in Prague, and it's been a long, long journey since. But without that man there being faithful to do what God told him, I just thank you, brother, for that. Hallelujah. I guess some of you heard already as I spoke to you that 2 days ago I became an American citizen, which in itself is quite a miracle. Because we've been married for 43 years plus, but we've known each other for 48 years. We've been dating that long. And she'll know what I was like before I was a Christian. You know, I'm going to be real truthful. I didn't like Americans. I thought they were loud and brash and, you know, always talking about money. Now I'm one. So I'm going to be loud and brash this morning. I'm not going to talk about money. Hallelujah. But, you know, it's funny. The guy that, you know, I put my hand on my heart and, you know, made the oath to, the guy that was in charge of all that, he said, well, congratulations, now you're all Americans. I hope you can understand my accent because I haven't quite picked up the American accent yet. But, though I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but he said, you know, when you go over here, some people are going to run the country down. And he said, I don't want you to be rude to them, But I want you to stand up for your country, your new country, you know, and be proud of it. And I thought, that's good, you know. A few more Christians should think like that, I think. But it's incredible. The first place we really stopped, where I really shared with the guy, said, oh, yes, yesterday I became American. He goes, welcome to financial failure. So that was his words to me. And I said, no, I'm blessed. I'm blessed to be in America, you know. But, you know, so many times people moan and complain. Christians do a lot, you know, about the state of the country. But, you know, Rick will tell you, he's been to India. We've still got a lot going for us here, you know. It's still a very blessed country. And though we're going through some hiccups and things, you know, God, I think, he's still got his hand on America. And we just love America. We just, you know, it's our adopted country. Actually, I'm more of an American than you are, really, because I chose to be an American. You didn't. But when you speak to other people, maybe about witnessing, they go, well, if your God's such a good God, such a good God of love, you know, why, you know, let's take Oklahoma, you know, why did that happen? Doesn't he know that happened? And you have to say, yes, he does know that. The Bible says that the eyes of God go to and fro out the earth. He knows everything. You know, he's all seeing, he's all knowing, he's all hearing. You know, he knew what you had for breakfast this morning. He knows what I said last night. He knows what we think. He knows everything we said. Every time we messed up, even if we messed up this morning, he knows. He's seen it all. And then, of course, what people will say, well, if he's such a good God and he knows this, why doesn't he do something? Why does he allow these things to happen? Why did he allow my marriage to go wrong? You know, why did I lose my business? Why am I sick? Well, there's a scripture that says, if I can find it, maybe that's not it. Yeah, it's in Psalm 115, verse 16. It says, the heavens, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he's given to the children of men. You know, there's a religious teaching that goes around that God's in charge of everything. Everything that happens is God's fault. And that's great, really, because if it's God's fault, then it's not ours. But really, in truth, God isn't in charge of everything in this world. There's many things that God cannot do. It says in the Bible that it's impossible for God to lie. And it's impossible, too, for him to go against his word. I am free to live my life without God interfering in it. I've been a missionary full time 20 years. I'm speaking in here today. Tomorrow I could go out and rob a bank, or I could commit adultery or steal something, whatever. Do you think God would stop me? No, he wouldn't, because I make the decisions. Rick talked a little about decisions. You know, where we are today is by the decisions we make. When I leave here, I'm going to turn right or I can turn left. I make a decision. And my decision decides in what direction I'm going. And the direction I'm going decides my destiny. If I turn left out of here, I'm going to Bellow Falls. Is that right? If I go right, I'm going out to Chester. Our decisions always tell us where our direction is, decides where our direction is, and our direction always tells us where our destiny is. And that is the plain truth. Hallelujah. Let me just see where I am. Thank you, Jesus. So, what we would say to people is that, you know, God does care. Well, then they would say to me, well, why are his eyes going to and fro if he's not going to do anything about it? Why is his eyes going to and fro? Why is he watching if he's not going to be able to do anything about it? You know, man, he gave man dominion. He gave us free will. He doesn't want us to be robots. He wants us to choose him, you know. He's like, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. He doesn't want us like that. He wants us to have free will. So what is he looking for? Well, I believe the answer is in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Different versions say different things, but my version says that God is watching over his word to perform it. That's what God's looking for, his word. He's looking over his word all the time, and he wants to perform his word, but he can't do it without faith. Faith is the thing that he's looking for. Is somebody going to believe my word? Now, when it comes to salvation, we don't really have a real problem with that. You know, there are many salvation scriptures, isn't there? Romans 10 and 9 says, you know, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. It says in another place, if whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, whosoever would believe in him should not perish but everlasting life. You know, if those doors burst open now and the vilest sinner came through those, a murderer, a rapist, whatever it was, and come down and fell at this altar weeping and crying out to God for forgiveness, I believe he'd be saved. And I believe most people here would say the same thing. He would be saved because he's seen the scripture, he's believed it, God's watching over it to perform it, and he'd be saved. And he'd be forgiven. Maybe some of us wouldn't forgive him, I don't know, in this world, but God would forgive him, and he'd be in heaven with us. But do you know it works the same way in every other area of life? It's all about believing what the Word of God says. Faith really is, I was thinking of like the currency of the kingdom. It's where, you know, where you get something from God from, if you like. God is, you know, it says in Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You know, I'm English. But if I'd come over and said, well, I'm not going to obey the American laws, I'm going to drive on the right-hand side of the road. You know, I wonder how long that would work for. You know, if I went to the store down the road and bought food, and when I got my cart through, I'll give them some pound notes, you know, American, English pound or euros. I say, no, I can't. You got to give me dollars. You know, but these are good. No, here they're not. And you know, it says Jesus went to Nazareth one time, his hometown, and could do very little works. He healed just a few people because, what, of their unbelief. It says, isn't this the carpenter? Isn't his brothers and sisters with us now? Don't we know this man? You know, God is looking for somebody to bear faith in his word and to believe in him. And it works the same in every area. Let's take healing. There's an area I want to quickly look at. I'm not going to keep you too long, but there's an area I feel the Lord wants me to just speak upon for a few minutes. But let's just take a couple of others first. Let's take healing. You know, there's many, many healing scriptures in the Bible. What is it? 1 Peter 2:24 says, Jesus himself took our sins in his own body. Healing. Yeah, it finishes off. And by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. Who believes that? Doesn't it say in the book of James, is there any sick amongst you? Then call the elders of the church and they will anoint you with oil and the prayer of what? Faith shall heal the sick. So many scriptures about healing. These signs shall follow those that believe, Mark 16 says. They shall lay hands on the sick, and what shall they do? They shall recover. So many things. Well, I don't believe that, brother. Guess what? You're not going to get healed. That's the truth. You know, if you say, well, I don't believe. I've heard people in England say, I don't need to be born again. They go to church. That's an American thing, they say. I say, no, it's in the Bible. That's an American thing. It's born again thing. If you don't believe being born again, guess what? You'll never be born again. If you don't believe that God heals today, you're not going to be healed. If you believe, well, God heals some people, but I'm not sure if he heals me, you're not going to be healed. It's as simple as that. You have to take what God has already done. God has already provided for our salvation. He's already provided for our healing. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. And there's nothing more we can do. As soon as we start trying to do something for our salvation, we become a cult or a sect. And it's the same with healing. If we think, well, I'm just going to pray a bit more, I'm going to get a few more thousand people to pray for me on Facebook, it's not going to work. What you're going to get is more unbelief. Hallelujah. Many, many scriptures on healing. But you have to believe them. You have to believe there are. You know, that word is live. It's living. And it's active. The word of God. It's not like any other book. It's just, you know, God wants us to believe it. You know, you can tell by now I'm a word of faith man, but I believe in the word of God. I believe that everything is there for whatever need you have, whether it's for depression, whether it's for fear, whatever it's for, I believe there's a word in there that will deliver us. And I hope you do too. let's look at prosperity. Now, that's a bad one. Yeah, prosperity. Money. You know, I'm not going to talk much about that. But you know, many pastors are fearful of talking about money. They think, oh, the pastor's going to run, he's going to after money again. We're off to another church, you know. You know, when pastors. yeah, great. You know, when he preaches about giving, he wants you to be blessed, because the Bible says it's, when we give, we're blessed. When we give, we shall receive. And, you know, one day, you know, if you want something big, a roof goes or something, you know, where's the money going to come from? It's going to come from us in this congregation, and we need to be blessed. There's so many scriptures at the point that God doesn't want us poor and broke. You know, when I'm in debt or when I'm sick, I'm no good to the kingdom of God. I couldn't have come here if I was sick. I couldn't have come here if I hadn't got enough gas to get me here. You know, God wants us to have enough. I know this prosperity message has gone crazy with some people and has gone too far. But I really believe that God wants you to have enough to pay your, to be debt free, to pay for your mortgages or whatever it is. Pay them off. I believe that's how God wants us to live. You know, if you say this one, well, I have enough anyway, then let me tread on some toes here. You know, that's pride. Because really, in the kingdom of God, we don't have enough. If you've got enough, then give this man $2,000 as you go out the door and let him go to India. Or give his wife, you know, give somebody $1,500 and say, go and have a holiday. Because that's what God wants us to do. He wants to bless us that we can be a blessing. That when we're in a supermarket, we can see somebody, maybe not so much here, but where I live, some very poor people. You can say, just stick that on my card. Just stick that on my card. Just help somebody. You know, it's a wonderful life, a life of giving. And it doesn't come overnight. It comes by revelation, really. But revelation of the Word of God. And the Word of God says, and my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If I don't believe that, he's not going to supply them. What did David, well, he says, you know, he'll supply our needs, but not our wants, I hear people say. What did David say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, in the Old Testament, it says somewhere, I never got time to look it up, it says that it's God that gives us power to make wealth, and that he delights in the Psalms, I've got that there, he delights in the prosperity of his servants. God wants us to be blessed. He wants us, you know, Rick was saying, I was saying as I came past the church, said, how nice it looks, the grass is cut, everything's painted up. And Rick said, yeah, well, it's representing God. If you've got a tatty old car and a tatty old, I'm not condemning you if you have, you know, God wants something better for us. But you have to start not, you know, religion again has taught so long, oh, it's so holy to be poor, like a, you know, what was it, a church mouse. God, I believe, in his word says that he wants us to prosper. He wants us to be the head and not the tail. He wants us to, you know, be the victor in all these things. In all these things, we want to be more than conquerors, the Bible says. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But the area I just want to talk to you, 10 minutes, can you give me 10 minutes more? Because I believe it's for you, somebody here at least, is in the area of Philippians, the chapter Philippians 4:13. Which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe there's people in this room that haven't fulfilled what they feel God wants them to do in life. I believe there's great potential in each and every one of us. I don't care how young you are or how old you are, God still has something for you. You know, when we were little boys and girls, when we were little kids, we all had a dream. God seems to put that into kids. You know, what do you want to be when you grow up? You see that. But somehow down the road, we make that wrong decision. And we go off to Balfour's instead of Chester. you know, and it takes us away. But God is a God that has many chances. He's got an A plan, he's got a B plan, he's got a C plan. Once we've messed C up, there's still a D plan. And I believe that God can get you back on where you want to go. I believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want you to think about that scripture. Just meditate on it. And believe it, and put it into the vision that still is before you. Met many people that have a desire to run an orphanage in Guatemala, but they haven't a clue how to do it. They've just let it go all their lives. But really, God has put that in their heart. We took a team to Cameroon some years ago, and there was a lady, Winnie, how old was she? She was 70, and when she was 15, God had told her to go on a mission trip. And she went when she was 70. Yeah, well, praise God she did. But you know, what could you know, if she'd have stepped out, believed the word, I can do all things with Christ who's strengthened, what could she have done? I just want to give you a little bit of personal testimony. What I don't want you to think is that I'm trying to lift myself, because I'm not at all, because I'm still the same guy. I lived in a little country village. I knew nothing. I never went anywhere. Didn't know anything. I was a knucklehead, full of pride, stupid. Phyllis will tell that, because she knew me when I was 16 and she was 12. And we've been together ever since. But I, you know, I didn't like education. I didn't like school. So I left school at 15. You could get away with it with nothing, you know. And most of the time, while I was at school, I had days off. You know, I'd get away with it. I just didn't like education. I didn't like school. I wanted to be in the world. I wanted rock and roll music, girls or whatever, you know, clothes. When I came to America, the Lord said to me, why don't you join Life Christian University at Tampa, Florida. They got a campus near us. So I thought, oh, okay. I knew it would help me in my missions work, because we're starting a new Bible college in Cameroon, and we really need somebody with a master's or a doctorate or something at the head to make it official. So I went to this university, and they said, well, where's your GED? Where's your school student? I said, oh, I don't have one of them. He said, well, you can't come. So they said, you have to go and get one. So I went to where you could apply, and they told me, take a test, and they gave me this list of things I needed to learn again, like maths. You know, have you ever tried dividing math fractions again after 40 years? Anyway, I learned all that, and I went and took my GED over two nights down at the courthouse, near the courthouse in Vieira. And, you know, I was the only old one there. All the others were young kids that had messed up, you know. But I got my GED, I went, and in 2 years I got an associate's degree. Then I got a couple of years. It's been a long journey, but another couple of years I got my bachelor's in theology. As I say, I'm not trying to boast. I'm just telling you what's possible for a kid that really couldn't care less, didn't know anything, you know. And then they gave me credits because of all my time, you know, on the mission field and things. So in another year, I got my master's degree in theology. And I've got all my credits for my doctorate, and I've just about finished doing my thesis, my dissertation for a doctorate. You know, if I go back home to England, people will, huh? You? You're the kid who was always causing all the trouble and didn't know anything. But God, you know, can do things for you. You know, okay, you can't be a brain surgeon tomorrow. But if you're young enough, you can still be a brain surgeon if that's what you feel God's calling you to do. It doesn't matter about your education, it doesn't matter about your money, it doesn't matter about anything. God can do it. And it's just amazing. You know, I give America some of the praise for things that have moved in my life, but really it's God, I guess, really, that's doing these things. When I was about 8, I fell down a tree and broke a compound fracture of my arm. And my leg ripped right the way down because I hit a barbed wire fence on the way down. And so when they started swimming, I couldn't go in for about 4 months. And by the time I could go in, everybody else could swim, and I was still frightened of water. Sorry? In school, yeah. I was probably about 10. And because I wouldn't go in, that time of day, the teacher was a bit more different. She just pushed me in. And it frightened me and it panicked me. And to be truthful, I never wanted to swim for leisure. I hated water. Even if I sat in the bath, it was too... I start taking my breath away. But one of my directors of our ministry, our board members, said, have you ever been scuba diving? I said, no. Absolutely not. We was there in his house one day. He said, come on, put this wetsuit on and the tank and go in my pool. I said, no, I don't think so. He goes, come on. And you know, the best way to beat a fear is to meet it head on. Because I tell you what, fear and faith can never mix. And I found that out. If you're fearful of something, I tell you, you're not in faith. If you're fearful today that you're not going to, your bills are not going to be paid, you're not in faith. You're in fear. Fear and faith can never be together. You know, if you're fearful of dying or something like that, or fearful of being sick, you're not in faith. You're not believing what the Word of God says. So in the end, I said, okay. And because they're quite rich, you know, both got very professional jobs. They wanted to bless us a bit and help us. They got the stuff. So in the end, me and Phyllis did some courses at a school, and then we went out 30 miles, 20 miles out to sea and we went down 60 foot and did some all these things. You take your mask off, all that. We both got open water certification, and I went on to advanced, where you go down 120 foot and you do wreck diving. And I tell you, it's just amazing. It really is. And I did a night dive, see sharks and all sorts of things down there. But it's just amazing. People wouldn't believe it. You know, with Christ, I can do all things. Really, we can. And you know, if it's a dream in your heart, and you think, well, I can't afford it, because that's the first thing that often comes into my mind. Have I got enough money? I never say anymore, I cannot afford it. I say, well, it's not in my budget at this time. You know, when I go to a restaurant, we don't eat that much, but when I go to a restaurant, I say to Phyllis, you don't look at the right side, you look at the left side of the menu. Because on the right side are the prices. And the left side, I said, you pick what you want from that side. Don't look at the price. Because my God will supply all your needs, according to riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. But one last thing. Phyllis, with the pastor's permission, and with him too, we'd love to pray for anybody this morning that you know, has a dream. You know, it says without a vision the people perish. It tells us to keep the vision before our eyes, to write it down, to make it plain, it will come to pass. If you've got a dream, you think, well, the finances aren't right, you know, whatever it is, you know, my body's not up to it, whatever it is, God can do it. You know, when we know the truth will set us free, but we have to act on it. We have to act on it. You know, I'm overweight. And I know the truth is, I know the truth. The truth is I've eaten too much and I haven't exercised enough. Why I'm overweight. But if I don't exercise and I don't, if I still keep eating too much, it isn't going to set me free. Knowing the truth and then acting on the truth is what sets us free. And in the same in every type of vision. God, you know, so we'll pray for you if you're sick this morning. We have seen some fantastic miracles. In India, we've seen people with HIV blood clear. We've seen people that wanted babies for 8 years suddenly get babies when we laid hands on them. You know, it's not us. We're not, you know, it's the Lord. But we'd love to pray with you before we go this morning. But I just want to speak one more thing, which really is really amazing to me. Was when I got to America in 2002, I felt the Lord say, well, you know, why don't you learn to fly? And I thought, well, you know, I don't have that sort of money. And but what really pushed me to do it was when I opened a local paper, there was a coupon in there for like $30 for a free lesson to see. So I thought, well, okay, I feel the Lord's telling me to do that. You know, for a missionary, it's great advantage to be able to fly. You can get out somewhere quick. You can do stuff. So I took this lesson in 2000, still in my logbook, and it was a windy day, and it was a little tiny plane, and quite honestly, I felt real sick. And I got on the ground again. I thought, well, I'm done with that, you know. That wasn't God. But I guess around about 2:05, the Lord, we always take time, well, we take time every day, but at the start of the year, me and Phyllis usually switch our phones off, lock the door, and we fast for maybe 2 days, January 1st, 2nd, and we seek the Lord on certain things, like which way we want the ministry to go, overseas, teams, you know, our home, our family, all sorts of, and we write it all down, we try, you know, what needs doing, and again, the Lord started to talk about flying to me again, you know, and I knew it was him. So we started putting some little money away, saving a little bit. You know, it's not cheap. You've got to hire a plane for about $80 and for an hour, and then a CFI, a certified flight instructor, is about the same. So, you know, it's $150, $160 for an hour's teaching. So we started putting money away for about 3 years, I guess. And I said, well, we'll go and see what we can do. So I went and spoke to the little flight school near us. They said, yes, we have an English instructor. I thought, great, because he'll understand me, because, and some of you probably already realise you're having a job to understand me because of my accent. So I started taking lessons with this guy, and he wasn't a Christian, you know, he was moaning, complaining about everything, and, you know, some F-bombs going in there and all this stuff. But so he understood me, and he taught me, but he was very typical unsaved Englishman. Yeah, very impatient, critical, and things like that. And one day, I've been flying for a while around, And he says to me, I told you this already. You know, if you can't learn, if you can't remember this, how are you ever going to be a pilot? Something. And I, you know, I went home and I said to Phyllis, I don't think I'm going to be able to do this for you. I just feel so down. And the next time I went, he said, look, maybe it's me. Why don't I put you with somebody else? Let them see. You know, I was having a job. When you land, you can't land on the front wheel because it'll collapse and kill you. as you land, you have to call it a flare. You flare when you're a certain height and let it drop. And I was in what they call the flare club. So he said, why don't we put you with someone else? They put me with this guy called Glenn. And he was American. And on the way over, he said, are you a Christian to me? I said, yes, I am, because he knew I was a missionary. So he said, would you pray for my wife? She's having some health problems. So we prayed. We got in the plane, strapped in. And I said, do you mind if we pray before we take off? No, that's great. So the whole atmosphere was different to start with. And he says, well, what's the problem? So he said, I'm not going to do anything. You just do what you know and just show me. So, you know, I did all the pre-flight checks, done the radio, set everything, and checked the plane, did the run-up and all that stuff. Then I taxied to the runway and, you know, got clearance and took off. As I took off, he goes, well, that's good. That's good. You know, just encouraging me. Very good. So I went around the pattern. And you know, as I landed, he said, what's the problem? He said, that's a good landing. I said, I don't know. I've seen better days than other days. I don't know what it is. So I went with him for about three times, that's all, three or four times. And I tell you what, I never realized how much encouragement is an important part of our lives. You know, this other guy just downed me a couple of times, and I just felt, you know, I almost confessed I couldn't do it. And as soon as I confess I can't do it, I'm not going to be able to do it. But this guy was just lifting me up, saying, yeah, it's good. Yeah, you can, you know, adjust this, do this. And I'd come home and I'd just, you know, I felt I hadn't wasted $150, you know. And probably about three or four lessons. And he says, give me three good landings. I said, okay. So I went around. I messed the first one up a bit. So he said, I'm not going to count that one. He says, give me three good landings. So I went around, done three good landings. So he says, okay, pull up. He says, could you do this on your own? And I said, because I'd filled out the papers for solo flight. I said, yes, sir, I think I can. He said, well, I'm getting out. He said, I've got a radio, I'm going to be here on the ground. He says, I want you to taxi up, I want you to take off, go round, land, taxi round again, do the same thing three times. He said, if you get any problems, he said, you get on the ground as quick as you can, or if a plane, you feel the plane has problems. And I tell you what, it's an incredible thing to take an airplane off and there's nobody in it with you. I mean, it's just incredible. I've always been interested in airplanes. I used to hang out at airports, you know. I knew a lot about airplanes, knew a lot about aerodynamics. But I thought, how can this, you know, how could God use me like this? It's just incredible, the things that God's done in our lives. He's just blessed us so much in so many ways. And it's all him and none of me, I assure you. You know, I'm still that guy that Phyllis met, really. It's just that God has changed my life. You know, I got saved in 1985, and Phyllis got saved 6 months later, didn't you? And we've had a wonderful marriage, a disastrous marriage for 15 years, to be truthful, really. But for the last, whatever it is, 25 years, 28 years, it's been wonderful, really wonderful. Well, we've run out of time. But thank you again for letting me speak. I just want to encourage you today. Keep on God's word. Keep looking at God's word. If you're sick, find those scriptures. Start. Kenneth Hagin, you know, he says, I'm finished with this. When he was 16, he got an incurable disease. And they said, there's nothing we can do. And he found that scripture in Mark 11:24. You know, if whatever we ask, believe when we receive. He said, one night I read it, because I couldn't sleep. He read it the whole night. And he said, until that become a reality. And he got up out of his sick bed and he lived to be nearly 90. Yeah, they wrote him off. You know, it's the word of God that God is looking over his word to perform it. All we have to do is believe. Worry ends where faith begins. I like that. It's great. God bless you. Thank you so much. Bless you.